So once again, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. It is our pleasure to have His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji here with us today to enlighten us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.24. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call? Hare Krishna Ram Girdhari Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, I don't see him. Oh, he's saying trouble in signing in. Oh, he's trying, Mataji.
Okay, thank you, Mataji.
Good.
Mataji, do you want?
Yes, Mataji. That would be
Mataji?
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can you all hear me? Yeah, I mean, there is a problem there because whenever I try to log in, it says the conference is locked and contact the meeting organizer. I'm not sure. It let me join in, but then it threw me out later. I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much, whoever connected me. Please, very kind of you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text Number 24. Nachaitya putraka bratur antaro dhanadhanugha visargadhanayostata umso daivam hikaranam. My dear son, those ikshas who are descendants of Kuvera are not actually the killers of your brother. The birth and death of every living entity are caused by the Supreme, who is certainly the cause of all causes. You will also read text 25. Text 25. Sa eva vishvam shrijati sa eva vatihanti cha atapihi ana Anasankaran Najyate Gunakarmabihi. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God creates this material world, maintains it, and annihilates it in due course of time. But because He is transcendental to such activities, He is never affected by ego in such action or by the modes of material nature. Purport. In this verse, the word Anahankara means without ego. The conditioned soul has a false ego, and as a result of his karma, he gets different types of bodies in this material world. Sometimes he gets the body of a demigod, and he thinks that body to be his identity. Similarly, when he gets the body of a dog, he identifies himself with that body. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no such distinction between the body and the soul. Bhagavad Gita, therefore, certifies that anyone who thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human being is without knowledge of his transcendental nature, and he is a great fool. The Lord says, Namam Karmani Limpanti, he is not affected by anything he does because he is never contaminated by the modes of material nature. That we have a material body proves that we are infected by three modes of material nature. The Lord says to Arjuna, you and I had many, many births previously, but I remember everything, whereas you do not. That is the difference between the living entity or conditioned soul and the supreme soul. The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, has no material body, and because he has no material body, he is not affected by any work he executes. There are many Mayavadi philosophers who consider that Krishna's body is the effect of a concentration of the material mode of goodness, and they distinguish Krishna's soul from Krishna's body. The real situation, however, is that the body of the conditioned soul, even if he has a large accumulation of material goodness, is material, whereas Krishna's body is never material. It is transcendental. Krishna has no false ego, for he does not identify himself with the false and temporary body. His body is always eternal. He descends to this world in his original spiritual body. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Param Bhavam. The word Param Bhavam and Divyam are especially significant in understanding Krishna's personality. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Pinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text Number 24 and 25. Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. So the current conversation that we are reading is about the Swayambhu Manu's conversation to Dhruva Maharaj. He is explaining Dhruva Maharaj that how he need to perceive, handle the situation in a slightly different manner than getting upset with yakshas. So, this particular set of verses from 4.11.16 onwards, wherein Manu is trying to help Dhruva, is a very good feeling of Manu for Dhruva Maharaj being a very great devotee. Swayambhava Manu was very particular in Dhruva Maharaj not making a mistake. In our last session in this current context, we discussed about how Swayambhava Manu took utmost interest in rescuing Dhruva so that his name is not blasphemed, as well as he is taken care. And Prabhupada explained in that purport that how, because Dhruva Maharaj was a devotee. The Lord is going an extra mile to reveal himself and to rescue the devotee from some untoward episode. So verse number 25 very clearly explains that Krishna is the supreme controller, and anyone who is predominant in his consciousness with egoistic as well as pride, if he is dominant in this nature, then he will not be able to execute his functions properly. He will misunderstand himself, he will misunderstand the Supreme Lord, he will as well as misunderstand the activities of this material world. We are going to see some very interesting set of reflections. Basically, the word ego means edging God out. Wherever ego is there, at any point in time, if you hear that ego has crept in, or ego is there, then that ego, all it does is, it edges God out. So this is the easiest way to understand the power of ego in one person. To establish this, Krishna tells to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that a person who is egoistic, he is telling the cause of it and he is telling the effect of it. In a sense, he is telling what is the cause of ego and he is also telling the effect of ego. The cause of ego is ahankar. And the effect of ego is vimuda. Srila Prabhupada explained the same point in this purport. How by being proud, he is becoming foolish. So in our discussion today, we will discuss some churning of this particular purport, and as well as the Siddhanta that Srila Prabhupada is trying to highlight over here. The first and foremost point is about the cause, the pride. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. So Krishna says that ahankara means pride. Ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. Because of pride, he becomes foolish. Because of foolishness, he thinks he is the doer. So cause effect of ego is, the cause of ego is pride, and the effect of the ego is being foolish. So the word pride in this current context is explained by Acharyas in a little elaborate manner. So our first reflection is about the pride, which is the cause of this problem. And Swayambhuva Manu is very clear in his request to Dhruva Maharaj that please understand things little deeper, not in a superficial manner. He says that if you do not understand things in a very deep science, if you do not understand things in a very logical and in-depth manner, if you think certain things operate on a superficial level, then you may make mistakes. This is the same situation, Krishna was responding to Arjuna, where Arjuna was trying to conclude to do something, and Krishna stopped him. Krishna stopped Arjuna saying that what you are doing, what you are going to do, and what you are thinking as correct is actually not correct. Rather, it may trap you, and you may eventually land up in doing sinful activities. So the similar thing is what Krishna is trying to help Dhruva Maharaj through Swayambhuva Manu. So the word pride actually makes us unqualified for any service. So Swayambhuva Manu was a bit concerned, and he was particular that we need to make sure that the action or the decision that we
okay, Lalitani Mataji, can you connect Prabhuji?
Yeah, 1 minute, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Sorry, Mataji. Lalitangi Mataji is connecting.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Are you there?
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we can hear you, Prabhu.
Okay, can I continue? Am I in the call?
Yeah, in the call, everybody is able to hear?
Yes, yes.
Yes, we can all hear. Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
I'm so sorry, I don't know what's happening today. Anyway, so I was just trying to say that how pride makes unqualified for any service. So it is explained by Acharyas that pride is of three categories. One is called Mada, second is called Drishta, third is called Uddanda. So Mada means a person who is intoxicated. Drishta means impudence, which is not showing due respect for another. Uddhana means pushing ourselves forward. So the whole point here is how when a person who is proud and who is thinking is the doer, who is thinking that he should be the beneficiary, who is not able to put anybody else before him, then we need to have a reality check some in time if I am inflicted with some disease. So the first reflection that I want to say here is that through this particular episode, we need to somewhere or other go back to a drawing table to see that how much we are suffering with this particular disease of pride, cause for somebody being egoistic. So Acharya has explained the three categories of pride to define what is the gradation, what is the depth, what is the intensity of someone's pride be. So they explain that Mada is the first level of pride in which an individual is intoxicated. In a hallucinated state, he does not realize that he is making a mistake. He is responsible for his actions and decisions. He is purely thinking about himself, an extension of himself. So the thought of intoxication blinds his intelligence in such a way that he only focuses on self-benefit and self-glorification and self-exclamation. So the next higher level of this life is about drishta, is about impudence. If somebody does not take care of his pride at the level of mada, intoxicated, mad state, and if they let that pride go on, and on, it gets worse to the level of drishta, in which we become impudent to the extent that we do not want to show respect to anybody. We are so proud, we think so much about ourselves and our accomplishments and our success and our followers. So we start to, behave in a manner that we don't respect anyone. So drishta is about being impudent. And one level forward is about udhanda. Like how in Krishna's time, Prata was claiming himself to be the real Krishna, and he was blaming the Supreme Lord to be a fake one. So he was having so much pride about himself in the stage of Uddanta, where he was pushing himself forward and wanted everyone to worship him. So this stage we can see nowadays, lot of fake gurus, lot of bogus babas, lot of people who are practicing spirituality for the sake of their lifestyle, they push their agenda forward and they try to confuse and try to win people because of their ignorance. So the point that I want to try to say is, as a first reflection, that we need to know the demon, the vicious circle of pride, is the biggest cause for our becoming egoistic and eventually rid of our and Krishna consciousness. So Swayam Manu Maharaj, that please understand Krishna is the cause of all causes, and everybody's actions and reactions happen because of what their karma is entitled to, and Krishna is responsible as a Supreme Lord, and he maintains and annihilates according to his own sweet will. So you be calm and do not react to the situation. Because Dhruva Maharaj was going to punish Yakshas, thinking that they were the reason for his brother's death. And more so, it was not all the Yakshas who were responsible. Only one or two guy was responsible, but because of which Dhruva Maharaj wanted to finish the entire Yaksha community. So which is what Swayambhu Manu was a bit concerned, because Dhruva Maharaj was slightly going overboard, slightly doing an overkill, slightly trying to do things which is beyond what he is supposed to have done. So in our spiritual journey, how does this map? Because as soon as we get a slightest success, as soon as we are slightly appreciated, as soon as we are rewarded, as soon as we get little positive realization in our spiritual life, we immediately get proud. Srila Prabhupada was in Mathura, and this is the first time that a very large gathering was planned after Srila Prabhupada came back from West. So he was there with a lot of Western devotees. And on the stage, Srila Prabhupada sat there and addressed to all the audience assembled there. Some Gaudiya Math sadhus were there, some general public were there. Because for everybody, it was a big surprise how a sadhu who went with 40 rupees, did not have any support system, he could be successful. So they were kind of curious as well as envious towards Prabhupada. So they all gathered for this assembly. And that time Prabhupada said that this Krishna consciousness movement is such a powerful process. And anybody who takes shelter of this movement, their consciousness gets purified. And he then pointed towards all his Western disciples who are sitting beside him on the stage and said that these are all my disciples who have taken up Krishna consciousness seriously. Even if you give them $10,000, they will not get allured. That's a statement Prabhupada made. So as soon as Srila Prabhupada made that statement, all the members who were assembled on the stage they felt little elated, they felt little, you know, recognized, they felt little, you know, whatever you may call it, slightly, I wouldn't call proud, some sort of happiness, they were beaming. As soon as Prabhupada finished that statement, he turned around and said that, don't be so happy or proud that you have not yet been offered with $10,000. So the point here is, Srila Prabhupada is always careful that how do we fly high and still stay grounded. So the first reflection is about, we are expected to fly high, but we are also expected to stay grounded. This is Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. What is this fly high all about? We need to win more souls to Srila Prabhupada. We need to make more book distribution for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. We need to expand our preaching program. We need to serve a lot. We need to control our anger. We need to control our lust. We need to control our greed. We need to control our envy. We need to make more and more devotees. We need to expand our preaching program. So there are a lot more things in terms of accomplishment we need to do for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, which is to fly high. You need to be successful. We cannot shy away that I cannot be successful. We have to be successful in terms of money, in terms of fame, in terms of power, in terms of knowledge, in terms of position. Srila Prabhupada did not want any one of us to be a, you know, honest fool. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be very intelligent gentlemen so that many, many people can take up Krishna consciousness. So that is the fly high part of Krishna consciousness. But what is the stay grounded part of Krishna consciousness is, in spite of all of them, we need to think that I am just a puppet in the hands of my spiritual master. I am puppet in the hands of the Supreme Lord, so the Lord can make me dance the way He wants. So the first reflection today is about fly high, stay grounded. In case of Dhruva Maharaj, he had a flying success. Very high, grand success in his endeavor to please the Lord, to meet the Lord, and got the necessary boon that he wanted. But then, the activities that he started to do was not so appreciated by Swayambhuva Manu, so he wanted to chop off that at a very early age so that it does not become detrimental. So this is the privilege we as practicing devotees we always get. So Krishna, whenever He blesses us, bestows us with the benediction, He always sends a support system. It is said that when the spiritual master gives his blessings, the necessary resources, the necessary enablers that are needed to execute the services are packaged along with the blessings. If Srila Prabhupada said that please go and do this, Srila Prabhupada's instructions or the blessings comes along with the necessary intelligence that is needed to execute that service. There's a very famous story about it where Harikesh Maharaj was in those days a personal disciple or personal assistant to Srila Prabhupada. So in those days, to be a personal assistant of Srila Prabhupada, it was a very high-profile service. So one day Srila Prabhupada called Harikesh Maharaj and said that now you have to go to Germany and you cannot stay here. I think I've shared this before. So Harikesh Maharaj thought that there are some, you know, grave offense that he must have committed. So he felt that I will not go. I mean, kind of, he said that should I go or not go? I mean, he was feeling sorry and went and told Prabhupada that if I made some offenses, please excuse me. Let me stay here and serve you. But Srila Prabhupada was very particular that Harikesh Maharaj go to Germany. So after 6, 7, 8 months, when he came to Mayapur, he came along with 3, 4 books of Srila Prabhupada translated in German language and gave it as an offering to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was very happy looking at the result of Harikesh Maharaj at that time, where he said that, see, you never wanted to go there. You look at what you have done now. You have done such a pleasing service that this is how a disciple is expected to serve the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada did this to Brahmananda Prabhu. He sent Brahmananda Prabhu to Africa. He sent Brahmananda Prabhu to Pakistan. He sent devotees to different places and encouraged them, enabled them. And what was his enablement? Just his blessings and his instruction. So if anybody is bestowed with the blessings of a spiritual master, then the blessings comes with the necessary resources for executing that particular service. So from that perspective, in our devotional life, we need to always remember that every success, everything that we do to fly high is only because of the mercy of the spiritual master. So we need to save ourselves from this propensity of pride, being proud, and that means save ourselves from getting intoxicated, save ourselves from getting impudent, and save ourselves from pushing ourselves forward as humble before humbled. It's called pride. So anybody who is humble before humbled, it's a sign of pride. So hence, we need to watch out. Am I humble before being humbled? In the sense, am I trying to show off my humility, even though I may be externally humble, but I may be internally proud? So this warning or this message from Swayambhuva Manu to Dhruva Maharaj is about be careful and hence understand the real truth. Don't scratch the surface and act on it. So our first reflection hence is be careful about this superlative and important vice which we need to be careful about called pride. The second reflection from this particular purport that we get is where we have, as a result of being pride, we become egoistic. And the result of egoism is to identify oneself with the body. And this has got two problems. One is identifying ourselves with the body and identify that which belongs to the Supreme Lord as also material. Srila Prabhupada explains, it is not only that we identify ourselves with the body and think ourselves as a doer, it is also that we consider Krishna's appearance, Krishna's activities as ordinary. So it is extremely important that we need to at least understand this part. Avajananti mam muda manushum tanum ashritam param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So it is very clearly explained that mam muda. What is muda here? Prabhupada explains here. Manushim tanum ashritam. Just because that individual is identifying himself with respect to body, individual is identifying himself with respect to, he's a doer, and he also identifies the Supreme Lord's activities as normal, material, and external. So that is why Srila Prabhupada explains about this. Namam karmani limpanti. He says, that person who is bereft of this propensity of ego, he is not affected by anything he does because he is never contaminated by the material modes of nature. So, the second reflection is about how do we take care of ourselves, not to identify ourselves with the body, as well as recognizing the Supreme Lord, recognizing the Supreme Lord's activities, Supreme Lord's presence in our life. We are generally used to the concept of as educated or as intelligent, whatever, you know, so-called intelligent people, we are used to the concept of engaging our senses in solving a problem. So, Srila Prabhupada always tried to say about people playing golf. Srila Prabhupada used to say, they are working very hard to put the ball in the hole. And Srila Prabhupada used to say that those people who are so much attached to their bodily consciousness, so much attached to the sense gratificatory propensity, they will be giving so much importance to the sensual pleasure that they will be identifying themselves wrongly and they will be identifying the reality as illusion. So for them, they will consider reality as illusion and illusion as reality and always stay in the mode of ignorance. So the second reflection talks about how we need to come out of this particular situation. As Prabhupada explains, the Lord says to Arjuna, you and I had many, many births previously, but I remember everything, whereas you do not. That is the difference between the living entity or conditioned soul, the super soul. And Prabhupada further says, there are many Mayavadi philosophers who consider that Krishna's body is the effect of a concentration of the material mode of goodness, and they distinguish Krishna's soul from Krishna's body. But the real situation, however, is that the body of the conditioned soul, even if he has a large accumulation of material goodness, is material, whereas Krishna's body is never material. It is transcendental. So this is the basis of our second reflection, in which we are going to discuss 3 points. Because of we being proud, because of our intelligence being completely covered, because of our choosing ourselves to be the doer or identifying ourselves with the body, we speculate a lot. The conception of speculation, the conception of identifying ourselves being the doer, goes so much so that it gives away 3 important problems or vices. Number one, it gives away misgiving. Second is that person misunderstands. And third is the person who is inflicted commits mistake. I repeat, a person who identifies himself with the body, a person who wrongly understands Krishna's appearance as normal, like we explained about Avajananti Mam Muda, Manushyam Tanum Ashritam. So they start to speculate because their intelligence is completely intoxicated, intelligence is completely covered, and as a part of the speculation, they have 3 vices that starts to grow within their heart. One is about misgiving, second is about misunderstanding, third is about mistakes. So I'll tell a small episode to relate this. This is about what we discussed in 17th chapter of Madhulila, where when Mahaprabhu was traveling towards Vrindavan, so when he traveled towards Vrindavan, he had taken along with him a brahmachari by name Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So when Mahaprabhu was going Vrindavan Dham, traveling on Vrindavan Dham, this Balabhadra Bhattacharya helped Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his all the activities and services. So one day, it so happened that Mahaprabhu was in his quarters or wherever he was doing. There was a large group of people who started to gather in near Yamuna. So this large group of people, they started to produce a rumor saying that Krishna has taken his birth again and is dancing in the hoods of Kaliya. So the news spread out the entire Mathura, Vrindavan, where Krishna has reappeared and is dancing on the hood of Kaliya. And because of this, everybody went to see Krishna dancing in Kaliya. Actually, what was happening was that in the Yamuna River, there was a boatman who was in the middle of the night rowing the boat the small lantern light, a small, a light. So from a distance place, the boat's edge looked like a hood of Kaliya. The boatman was misunderstood as Krishna because those two lights were looking like an eyes of the Kaliya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was doing his japa and he was in his own trance. Balabhadra Bhattacharya went to Mahaprabhu, offered his obeisances and told, "My dear Mahaprabhu, can I go and take darshan of the Supreme Lord who has just appeared on Kaliya?" So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a tight slap and mentioned, "Because you heard from speculation from others, you have become a fool." So Mahaprabhu said that because of your association and hearing about the speculation, you have become a fool. So this particular purport Prabhupada explains that those who identifying themselves with their body, they do not know to distinguish between body and soul, and they do not know their connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and hence they remain as a great fool. And this speculation that Balabhadra Bhattacharya was doing is the greatest misgiving, where he is going to Krishna himself, Mahaprabhu, and telling about Krishna's appearance. So such a foolishness was never accepted by Mahaprabhu. Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami explains this particular context as, what was the cause of it? The cause of this behavior is because we hear from our relative source and not hearing from a bona fide source. When a person starts hearing from a relative source and does not give importance to hear from an absolute source or a bona fide source, then what will be the result of this? Or what is the result of his speculation? Or what is the result of his such a decision? He considers ordinary person to be great and great person to be ordinary. Person in constant association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he could be influenced by fools, we need to be careful and not be prematurely judgmental. So the message, the second reflection is about how do we handle, or what is the pitfall of trying to identify ourselves with the body and eventually trying to consider Krishna's appearance as an ordinary one. The second effect of this speculation is the misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that Krishna ate mud. Balarama went and complained Yashodamaya. And Yashodamaya is forcing Krishna to please open his mouth. And what happened? Krishna revealed the entire universe. So what acharyas are explaining is, what we learn out of this particular episode is, if a person does not understand the supremacy of the Lord, in this case, both Yashodamaya and Balaram, they do understand, but to perform this leela, you want to show to the whole world that without proper understanding, without proper knowledge about the Supreme Lord, if somebody doubts or somebody misunderstands the Lord's behavior, as Srila Prabhupada explains, Namam Karmani Limpanti. In the previous sloka also, is very nicely explained, verse number 24, where it says, those Yakshas who are descendants of Kuvera are not actually the killers of your brother. The birth and death of every living entity are caused by the Supreme, who is certainly the cause of all causes. Because of not able to understand, people misunderstand various things. They understand the reality to be an illusion and eventually try to act and take decision based on that. So the second effect of speculation is about misunderstanding. The third effect of speculation is about committing a mistake in which Lord Brahma mistook Krishna to be an ordinary person. Indra thinking Krishna to be an ordinary person. So Brahma Vimohan Leela, Giriraj Govardhan Leela, there are typical examples of how when somebody is proud, somebody is under the speculation, somebody is thinking oneself to be the doer, then what happens? So Lord Brahma finally repented, Lord Indra finally repented to square off what mistakes they committed. So the second reflection hence is about when we are identifying ourselves with body, when we are thinking that the avatar or the personality of the Supreme Lord, his appearance is normal, then what happens is that we are finally trapped with the concept of speculation, which gives rise to misgiving, misunderstanding, and a mistake. So this is the second, which because of which we are warned. Third reflection, and the last reflection, is about what Srila Prabhupada wrote in his purport, the last part of the purport. He says, the real situation, however, is that the body of the conditioned soul, even if he has a large accumulation of material goodness, is material, whereas Krishna's body is never material. And he says, the words param bhavam and divyam are especially significant in understanding Krishna's personality. So the third reflection hence is about elevation of our consciousness from ignorance to passion, passion to goodness, and eventually to super goodness. So till that point in time we reach the platform of super goodness, till the point in time we reach the platform of purity, till the point in time we reach the platform of Shuddha Sattva, we will be constantly rotating and revolving in the cycle of birth and death. So the third reflection is about how do we understand Param Bhavam and Divyam aspect of the Supreme Lord. For that we need to go to 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the pastime of Chitraketu is explained, Chitraketu, after going through all those challenges in his personal life, he is finally coming to an understanding that the child that he asked for is also cause for his suffering. The desire that he had to have a son, in spite of the warning that was given by Narada Muni and so he is trying to repent, and Narada Muni gave him an advice. He gave him some mantra, he gave him a process. Through the process, he was encouraged to chant some mantra so that he'll be getting darshan of Lord Sankarsana. So when he was explaining about Lord Sankarsana, he exactly did the way Narada Muni suggested. And within four nights, three days, he could see Lord Sankarsana face to face. Maybe I may be wrong, maybe 4 or 7, whatever number may be. But within a very short span, he saw Lord Sankarsana face to face. When he saw Lord Sankarsana face to face, he is trying to glorify Lord Sankarsana by multiple sets of prayers. So from 6th canto, 16th chapter, text number 34, all the way till 42 or even more. So 8-9 verses. Chitraketu is glorifying the Supreme Lord. So he's glorifying the Supreme Lord as Ajita. He's glorifying the Supreme Lord as Vibhava. He's glorifying the Supreme Lord as Dhruvam. He's glorifying the Supreme Lord as Ananta. And one of the glorifications is, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord as Param Isha. Or Parama. So, what does this actually mean? It means, anyone who comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, anyone who comes in contact, associate with the Supreme Lord in transcendence, they escapes this material nature. So the third part of our discussion is about the result or the solution that Srila Prabhupada writes. That anyone who understands or especially comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, Param Bhavam Majananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. So if anybody comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, what happens to them? So it is explained, there are four things that happens to a person who comes in contact with the Supreme Lord. Number one, he gets rid of lust, kamad. Number two, he gets rid of dveshad. Number three, he gets rid of bhaya. And fourth, he gets snehat. So basically, the process of spirituality, or anybody who comes in contact with Supreme Lord as Param or Param Bhavam, so can escape the material nature. He can get purified of kama. Who's an example? Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj came in contact with Krishna purely for some materialistic reasons. He got purified. Example for Dveshad. It's a very famous story that Srila Prabhupada tells about a thief hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. He didn't have any attachment for hearing about Krishna or becoming Krishna's devotee. He wants to steal. And the Bhagavatam speaker gave a fantastic description about Krishna's beauty and ornaments. And the Bhagavatam speaker gave address of where Krishna is going to reside on the process to go and see him. And the thief went and searched Krishna in the forest of Vrindavana, and finally he saw Krishna. So even though we may not like, there's a devotee by name Hari Das Prabhu in our Radha Rasa Bihari temple. He shared this many, many times to, you know, personally to me and also to the devotees. He was a proper disciple. So his mother used to be a very nice devotee of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was there. But Haridas Prabhu used to be acting in, you know, theater and movies, and he wanted to become an actor. And also he had some bad qualities and not so very good association. So in the process, he developed some bad habits, drinking and, you know, drugs. Sometimes to meet his ends, he used to steal. So he was arrested for one of the mistakes that he did. He was in the jail. So his mother used to go and supply him prasadam and trying to help him. So she gave a Back to God magazine where he can read. So in the Back to God magazine, he saw Srila Prabhupada wearing a golden watch. So he made up his mind that as soon as I get released from the prison, I should meet this guy in the jail. I should meet this guy and somehow get the gold watch from him. So because his mom is a devotee, he came to the temple after he got released from the jail. And he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him to stay there in the temple. So he decided to stay there for a couple of days. And after a couple of days or a few, weeks or maybe a week more, two more. So he went to Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada. In fact, he went and confessed to Srila Prabhupada, saying that actually I came into the temple to steal your watch. But the service and the opportunity and the association of devotees are so nice that I feel like confessing it to you and lead a very clean life. And as soon as he told this, Srila Prabhupada removed his golden watch and gave it to him. And told him that please be a very nice devotee and practice Krishna consciousness. So Haridas Prabhu mentioned that the association with the devotees and association with the self-realized soul is such that even if he had hatred, even if he did not like, even if you are, hating this entire process, the power of association with the transcendence helps. Third is about bhaya, fear. We have a lot of sentimental feelings and we have a lot of fear in our life about our death, about our old age, about our financial situation, about our position, about our name, fame, prosperity. So many things, we are constantly living in fear, and this process of devotion helps us in crossing over this bias. And also, this helps us in snehat. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that anyone who comes in contact with Supreme Lord, 6.16.39, says, Kamat, Veshat, Bayat, Nehat. So he will be able to get rid of these four situations. So this is the third reflection. So to summarize our conversation today, we started to discuss because we had some interruptions in between. So let me summarize what did we learn. So we learned, number one, that we are supposed to be handling this very important vice called ego, because ego means edging God out. And this whole verse and the previous verse, Swayambhu Manu is giving an advice and as well as warned Dhruva Maharaj that we need to start thinking beyond the superficial layer, which is to understand who is the actual doer, who is the actual beneficiary, who is the actual controller. And once we understand this, our perspective towards the world, our perspective towards life will get automatically changed. So as a result of that, Swayambhu Manu was explaining how Krishna is the cause of all causes, and because of Krishna, the spirit souls are being maintained and annihilated in its due course of time. And he was trying to explain to Dhruva Maharaj how he need not punish all the ekshas because all of them were not at fault. Only one or two of them were at fault. So we discussed that how ego's cause is pride and ego's result is about being foolish. So based on this premise, based on this understanding, the verse from Bhagavad Gita which talks about prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Based on this verse as a basis, we discussed three sets of reflections. The first set of reflection that we spoke was about how this pride as a quality is very, very dangerous, and somebody who does not know to handle pride will have a difficulty in handling his own service, because the quality of pride can actually disrupt our services and makes us become unqualified to serve the Supreme Lord. And as a part of that, we discussed three categories of pride. It's called Mada, second is called Drishta, third is called Uddhanda. How Mada means intoxication, Drishta means impudence, and Uddhanda means that one who pushes himself forward. And we discussed that if somebody shows humility before being humbled, it may be a sign of external humility, but really he is proud about his, position and service and stuff like that. So hence we said that it is important for a person to handle, to realize and identify his qualities of being proud, and eventually he should be able to handle that out. The second reflection that we had is about the point that Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport of how one identifying oneself with this body as well as considering Krishna's appearance as normal. And Srila Prabhupada referred in his purport this sloka, Avajananti Mam Muda, that how a person who identifies himself to be the doer and how he identifies the Supreme Lord activities as normal, he is foolish. So because of this nature of being proud, one tends to speculate. We discussed three effects of speculation, which is misgiving, misunderstanding, and mistake. We discussed three examples of each of them. We discussed one example for misgiving, which is about Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and second example of Krishna's mud eating pastime, and third is Brahma's mistaking Krishna's appearance as ordinary. So the third reflection that we had is about Srila Prabhupada's discussion, Srila Prabhupada's narration about Param Bhavam and Divyam above the Supreme Lord, where Srila Prabhupada explains that how Krishna's appearance is great and glorious, and he mentioned that anybody who comes in contact with Param, the supreme nature of the, you know, supreme nature of the Lord, they can handle four things: Kamat, Dveshat, Bayat, Snehat. And we discussed each example for one example for each of them, and hence by we coming in contact with the Supreme Lord, we will be able to handle all the vices and eventually be able to be self-situated. That is what is expected out of all of us as practicing devotees. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanmat Pranam. Very, very nicely you have explained and given us very nice guidance. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. This is Kapil.
Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam, Ji Ram Gitari Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ji Jai. As usual, such a wonder nectarian class, Prabhuji. But we are not so much qualified. We have to hear and hear 2-3 times your lecture. All realization is so touch to heart. Especially you explained that we are a puppet of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani and Srila Prabhupada, and we have to serve as Das Dasanu Das Moon and many more realization. Thank you very much for your association. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Dangot Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, or glorious to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very nice class, Prabhu. I have one question, Prabhu. You were telling we should not be honest, foolish, but we should act such a way so that Prabhupada can help, means we can use our intelligence or like that, maybe. Prabhuji, my question is in Krishna consciousness is the kind of simplicity. Yes, we should be more and more simple. Simplicity is the question of another quality. How we can manage? Because what happens sometimes we try to use our intelligence. Sometimes it's, I think it's better to be honest and machine. I don't know how to act in that situation, but how we can manage that intelligence and simplicity together?
Okay, how to be a simple-minded person? It's a million-dollar question, actually. Because in this entire material world, especially with the current education system, we cannot think simple. Because the current education system, which Srila Prabhupada is very much worried about, and Srila Prabhupada, you know, warned us, makes us think that we are the doer. The current education system is such that it enforces, it establishes, it makes us believe that we are the center of our world. And any time in this material world context, we will not be able to come out of that, you know, thought process. in one of the purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness is simple for simple-minded person, and Krishna consciousness is complicated for complicated people. I'm just paraphrasing them. So the purport of that is that we are not able to be simple-minded purely because of what we acquire unnecessarily since our childhood days. And the irony is that it's not only we acquire, we want our children to also acquire, because we believe that without this we will not be able to function. So when Prahlad Maharaj was questioned that how is it that you got to know about Krishna, I'm so surprised that from the childhood days till now, all you knew is only what is being taught over here. How is it that you knew about Krishna? This was the biggest surprising question by Prahlad Maharaj's teachers. So that in your house there is no Krishna worship, in your house nobody talks about Vishnu, your friends are not devotees, nowhere Krishna is being taught. How is it possible for such a young age you are thinking about Krishna? They are very much surprised. So Prahlad Maharaj responded back and said that, my dear sir, I am actually surprised how you are not Krishna conscious. The same logic the teachers are putting on the boy, he is counter questioning that I am surprised how you are not Krishna conscious. Because it is obvious, it is common sense that everything that we are doing is under the control of the Supreme Lord. If you slightly start to put your head clear, you will see Krishna's hand behind every action. And I am not able to understand how you don't understand this. So this part of simplicity that is expected, or one of the characteristics of a devotee, can come in only when we learn to put our faith in the words of the spiritual master. If we do not know to put the faith in the words of the spiritual master, we try to logically analyze spiritual master's advice, logically analyze Srimad Bhagavatam, logically analyze Vedic literature, then we will remain complicated. Nobody is questioning about our being logically reasoning, but logical reasoning to understand the philosophy is different from logical reasoning to even question the existence of the Siddhanta. Because today, the so-called scientists, so-called philosophers and educated men, they use their own brain to even question the existence of the Supreme Lord. So that is the irony of our education system. So the only way, or the most important way, by which somebody can go back to being simple is to accept and to surrender to the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master is the one who repeats what his spiritual master has told. In turn, the parampara has told. So if somebody aligns themselves with such an instruction, it is impossible for them to get fizzled out, to get derailed from this journey of Krishna consciousness. And for a complicated people like us, the most complicated thing is to surrender to a spiritual master. Somehow or other, if he could do that, somehow or other, if he could tune up and say that, yes, I will dedicate and organize my life in such a way that the instruction of the spiritual master is my life and soul, then there's a hope that very soon we can become a simple-minded person. Otherwise, we will always remain complicated. Making sense?
Yes, Prabhu. It's only when we accept that spiritual master instruction, if we try to follow and be helpful.
You see, I will give you many, many examples. You see proper disciples, you see contemporary acharyas, you see the acharyas just before Srila Prabhupada, you see the entire parampara, they are whoever they are, just with only one reason, because they just did what their spiritual master asked them to do, nothing else. Guru Maharaj became Guru Maharaj because he obeyed Narada Muni. Chitraketu saw Lord Sankarsana because he obeyed Narada Muni. Prahlad Maharaj has become, such a great saint because he heard from Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada did all through his life only two things. he preached in English languages and published books, because that's all he was told. So everybody just did what they were asked to do. If we also try to behave in such a manner, one devotee asked me, what if our Guru Maharaj does not come and tell me, you know, something specific? Maybe Guru Maharaj did not come and say, hey, Ramgiri Dari, come, this is your specific service. What if I was not told about a specific service? It is very important to know that if we are very sincere in our endeavor to serve the Supreme Lord sincerely, every Bhagavatam lecture the spiritual master is giving and you are sitting, that advice that he is giving in the class is directed towards you. And there is also a general direction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas have set on which you are supposed to work on. So start showing our commitment, start showing our interest in being a missionary. In the last week, Chaitanya Charitamrita class, we were discussing this point. The point of mission versus missionary. If we know what is our mission, if our mission is not Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, if our mission is something independent, something temporary, something intermittent, then we have a long way to go. For a person in whose nerves this point of Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam is there, then he can be a missionary. Who is a missionary? One whose life, thinking, eating, feeling, willing, desiring, planning, goals, targets, everything is centered around what a spiritual master wants him to do. So his life becomes very, very simple. Just execute it and he is with Krishna. Otherwise, how much ever we may be, you know, intelligent, we will be Punar Mushiko Bhava. We will come back to become a rat again. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. The point that you were making when you brought up the example of Vallabhacharya, I think you were trying to explain misgivings, I think mistakes, and one other M word. And they all kind of got blurred for me. They kind of all sounded like a similar type thing, basically okay. Making mistakes. So if you could repeat the point also that you were making. Then
yeah, so number one is it is not Vallabhacharya, it is Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Okay.
Oh,
so
Balabhadra
Bhattacharya is a disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was accompanying Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan to serve Mahaprabhu as a servant. So,
I'm sorry. You said his name is Balabhadra.
Yes, Balabhadra Bhattacharya.
Oh, okay. Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Okay.
So now the second point I was mentioning as a part of my second reflection is, if somebody is proud, if somebody is predominant with Mada, Drishta, Udhanda, any one of them, then naturally he tend to behave in bodily consciousness, and the result of bodily consciousness is speculative lifestyle. Speculation gives rise to three types of vices. Number one is about misgiving, which means that, like what the example that we discussed about, he understands to basically, Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, he speculated, he understood that ordinary person to be great and a great person to be ordinary, because he heard from a relative source and not from an absolute source. A basic English definition of misgiving is a feeling of doubt or apprehension. So basically, a speculation is you are not so sure, you will be doubtful, you will be apprehensive, and you will be thinking based on what you perceive. So what I was trying to say is that as a result of pride, as a result of a person who being so proud, he may tend to speculate, and one of the byproducts of speculation is misgiving, which means to have doubts, to have apprehension. Second, I was mentioning is about misunderstanding. Misunderstanding is failure to understand something correctly. And third, effect of the speculation is about mistake, which is something which is wrongly concluded or something which is misjudged, and we repent or we try to rectify them through some external source. I mean, we make a mistake and we have to repent or we have to get an external source help to get rid of that. So this speculation gives rise to misgiving, misunderstanding, and mistake. So one is wrong judgment, which is mistake. Second is one is failure to understand something correctly. Third is having a doubt or apprehension about the outcome. Making sense?
Mm-hmm. It is clearer. The only thing I would say is it's not like such a logical connection between, because you said that a person who identifies with the body, their tendency is to be speculative, not rely on authoritative sources for their knowledge, right?
Yeah, you're right. But look at the current context. What did Dhruva Maharaj do? What was Swayambhu Manu's allegation? Swayambhu Manu said, it's not all the yakshas are responsible for your brother's killing. Only two guys did it. Just because two guys made a mistake, why are you going after all the yakshas? That's nonsense. So stop it. So somewhere, Swayambhu Manu is raising a flag, saying that please don't come into the consciousness of sensual activity. Then you will speculate. You will misunderstand. You will misgive. You will do a mistake. These are all egoistic. These are all coming out of pride. So stop it. You see the connect now?
Mm-hmm.
But technically, Dhruva Maharaj is not expected to do this because he was a devotee. He got the blessings of the Supreme Lord. But still, this is to educate us, and as well as this current context is where he is going to go to kill all the Ekshas. He says that, you killed my brothers, I'll finish the entire Eksha community. This is like an overkill. So, Swayambhu Manu said, stop this. This is nonsense.
But you would say that he did that just because he identifying with the body? He was doing this overkill?
That is what Swayambhu Manu's fear is. That is what Swayambhu Manu is trying to clarify. He is subtly saying, and Prabhupada is responding in the purport, in today's purport, he says, in this verse, the word anahankara means without ego. Why is that Prabhupada using this word? In the translation, is also he's mentioning, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material world, maintains it, annihilates it in due course of time. But because he is transcendental to such activities, he is never affected by ego in such action or by the modes of material nature. This is today's translation. And Srila Prabhupada explains the word ego. The word ego was brought in. Maybe Swayambhu Manu is not giving an allegation that Dhruva Maharaj is egoistic, but he's trying to kind of warn, he's trying to kind of raise a flag. Hey, watch out. You should not fall trap because of superficial information. Get to the depth of it. Like how Balabhadra Bhattacharya mistook the boatman as Krishna and the boat as Kaliya. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj should not fall trapped to such a distracted information. So hence, this warning is given.
Okay, I'm glad you... not so much. Actually, let me use this Balabhadra Bhattacharya's example. So, in other words, just because he identifies with the body why should that necessarily mean that he'll fall prey to speculative knowledge? And also with Dhruva, you know, just because he identifies with the body, I don't see why, you know, he would necessarily do all the killing. Because other people, there are so many people who identify with the body, but they would not necessarily, you know, overkill. They would be able to discern that, no, not everybody was guilty, so I will only kill those who are guilty. You know?
Look at this translation, purport Prabhupada gave. I read the purport. The conditioned soul has a false ego, and as a result of his karma, he gets different types of bodies in this material world. Sometimes he gets the body of a demigod, and he thinks that body to be his identity. Similarly, when he gets the body of a dog, he identifies himself with that body. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no such distinction between the body and the soul. Bhagavad Gita therefore certifies that anyone who thinks Krishna is an ordinary human being without knowledge of his transcendental nature is a great fool. So the point that Srila Prabhupada is driving home here is that if somebody is bodily conscious, yes, not everybody may be behaving in a manner by which that he will do an overkill. But over in our personal life, let us consider ourselves devotees. We have heard about Krishna consciousness. We have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. Have we stopped identifying our surroundings and our life from bodily consciousness? No, we still identify with bodily consciousness. Yet what extent, what level and what depth we identify is what the challenge is. Some of us will be in the very minimal level. Some of us will be in the very gross level. So the message here is that be wary that somewhere or other we are attached to our body. That is why we are gender conscious. That is why we are race conscious. That is why we are country conscious. Suppose if I tell in this class that all the people who are born in South India are a bunch of idiots. Suppose if I make that statement here, or I make some, statement which is referring to our body, so referring to a gender, we immediately get affected. Because we still think the name that I have got, the gender that I have got, the country that I belong to, the place that I live to, we attach ourselves with that. We still not yet know that we are actually spirit souls, independent of them. As soon as somebody says South India, I start to get up in the seat because I'm a South Indian. Oh my God, somebody is telling bad about South Indians. So I directly connect myself to be South Indian whilst I am not. Directly connect myself to a gender whilst I am not. My soul is not. So the message here is, at some point in time, we need to start to reflect upon the situation where we need to come out of our bodily consciousness. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly said this. Whenever this conversation about gender and whenever this conversation about foreign countries. Once Prabhupada was in Ludhiana, in India, one reporter, he came to Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada was addressing a big rally or some big audience. So one so-called scholar came and said that all your foreign disciples, they are not so cultured and they are not from a very well upbringing. So he was kind of giving an allegation about the previous lifestyle of Prabhupada's disciples. So Prabhupada was very upset and he pointed to one of his female disciples in the crowd and told her, please chant Isopanishad. And this Mataji, incidentally, she knew Isopanishad, so she chanted the first verse, she chanted the second verse, she chanted the third verse, she chanted the fourth verse. But incidentally, she only knew only four verses. And Prabhupada didn't know that. And after she was getting nervous that what if I have to say the next one and there's a public challenge somebody has given and she was not sure how to handle the situation. As soon as she finished the fourth verse, the Prabhupada said, all right, that's good enough. So not the message. The message is that Srila Prabhupada wanted to communicate, it is not about the birth, it is not about the caste, it is not about the gender, it is about the samskara, it is about the shraddha, it is about the faith, it is about the siddhanta, that we subscribe to, which will bring us out of our bodily consciousness. You may be an Indian, born in Bharat Bhumi, but still subscribing, embracing to Western ideologies. Look at my students, even though they are from Western ideology, they're subscribing to the ancient Vedic culture. So Srila Prabhupada was on his face, gave a slap in terms of philosophy, that this is how our Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. So the point that I'm trying to say is that if somebody is identifying themselves with body, they tend to speculate, because the nature of speculation is gross. It is not letting one to think intelligently. That's my realization. Are you making sense?
Okay, Prabhu. Yes, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
Any other thoughts, comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class and very nice summary and very nice. So many examples, Prabhu, about association and about everything you gave us. So nice. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. I'm sorry for all the disturbances in between. It was beyond my control. I came on time and technology, put me back foot. There are no questions, then we can end the class.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, you came on time. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for giving the class.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. We are very grateful to you, and we are really looking forward to having your association again in future. We can end the call here, as nobody else has any more questions for Prabhuji. And we apologize for the inconvenience today, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. And I wanted to just add in that all the realizations and all the points that you gave made so much of sense. And just had one question about the ego when you said the expansion of ego is edging God out. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to know where you got this idea from, Prabhu.
the truth. I mean, when you have ego, which means it edges God out. I mean, ego is it's a big cloud which will make you blind in front of the Lord. It will not let you see the Lord. I mean, it's not an idea. It is. Some devotees, inspiration or, there's nothing like a planned, thinking. This is something I heard from some devotees, so I just shared.
Thank you, Prabhu. That's really beautiful.
Edging God out is, if you know this as an explanation, then you'll be very careful. At least I should not be egoistic, because it will edge Krishna out of my heart or maybe from my consciousness.
Thank you, Prabhu. That's really nice to hear.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji. This way, obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His grace Prabhu ki jai.